right, y'all, it's Sunday morning, 12:23. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this particular one is called The Turning of the Tide. We're going to turn to a scripture first. This is 2 Corinthians 12. Didn't put any rings on. I'm naked. Oh well, got plenty of other on, so. All right, we're going to read Paul's account of his, you know, the messenger Satan sent. Verse 1, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such as one called up to the third heaven. So evidently, whatever he talked to the Lord about had happened 14 years prior. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So the things that we suffer for his sake, he says here, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? Right here. The point here is that the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet Paul because of the abundance of the revelation. Do y'all realize how blessed we are to have the revelation that God's given through this ministry? Nothing, as far as I'm concerned, God's given it. It's not my revelation, it's His. But just think about it. All right, buffet means to rap with the fist. You ever feel like you're just in a beat down? Mm-hmm. To beat you down till you can no longer stand. That's the point. That's why the message of Satan has come. You're a threat. He's come to beat you down, to keep you from going forward, because he knows God's revelation has the key. Take him down, take him out, so he's going to try to take you out. All right? Well, what were the revelations that Paul received? The epistles. That's what he received for the whole church. The whole church from that time forward, 2,000 years. He was beat down because of these revelations that we read today and can glean from. He wrote most of them. The epistles teach us? How to overcome the works of Satan and how to fight and win. Gave us a fighting chance where we had no chance at all before Jesus came. I had this scenario in my mind. A group of demons standing before a higher ranking demon. They are receiving orders. The higher ranking demon says, "Stop them! At all costs, stop them." I never really got a lot of the book of C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters, but it was about the demonic entities conversing and coming against a Christian, I believe it was. Anyway, same way with This Present Darkness, those books that came out. Well, C.S. Lewis, I don't know when that came out, but This Present Darkness, I think, came out in the 80s or so. Yeah. I'm sure these men had to have some insight into all of this and how the messengers of Satan are sent to stop us from taking the kingdom by force. That's what these books were about. They had to have had some insight to even be able to write those books. And the reason we didn't understand any of it is because we weren't in the combat zone. When you're in the combat zone, you understand it fully. But if you're like most Christians, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. All right? That's Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Right here, suffereth, to force, to crowd oneself into, to be seized. See, Satan's infiltrated all culture. So what are we doing? We're forcing our way into what he has seized and forcing him out. And it's painful. Violence, the same as suffereth. What are you feeling, right? Violent, a forcer, or energetic? In other words, you are going to keep standing, you're going to keep moving forward, and you're not stopping. Regardless, you're not stopping. Is your life miserable? Absolutely. But you know, it's short term. Think about the military. Think about armed forces. I heard something so sad yesterday. I told Danny about it. It was on Sherry Ray, and she was talking about evidently there were 6 Marines that were sent to a prison in New York. They were at the Capitol. And the general got wind of it. I don't know which one, Berger maybe. And they sent some SEALs, I guess, to rescue them. And when they had to kill several FBI, but they were so awful. It's like they had no food and water for days and days and days. They were so emaciated, they couldn't. They were just laying around. They couldn't even hardly move. But they rescued them, and they've taken them to a base to be nursed back. But I'm thinking, see, that's what soldiers, they... You know, they're doing this for us. They did this for us. We're doing this for the body of Christ. We're doing this for the kingdom of God. The Lord has required this of us. And I said, Lord, it says if we gave up houses or land or children or whatever for the kingdom of God, that at some point we get 100-fold back. So it's a temporary thing. We don't know how long, but we know that there's nothing God asks of us or requires of us that he does not give back better than what he asked you to give up. So it's kind of like going in the military. You think, I set my face like flint that I'm going to serve my country. We've set our face like flint. We're going to serve the body of Christ, and we're going to do what the master requires of us. We're going to do what Paul wrote in these epistles that we should do. All right. We have to be violent. All right. Satan's messengers are there to beat us up, to try to keep us from forcing ourselves or crowding ourselves, seizing the ground that Satan has stolen from the body of Christ, which is everything. We must remain energetic and force ourselves through the enemy's lines and eventually possess the gate. See, we're going for the gate of the enemy. We must hold the line and advance forward. We can never give up the ship. All the body of Christ are counting on us. This is our assignment. This is how God delivers. We are his army. It's a stand that does not back down. Absolutely never gives up. No matter how it feels. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I have nowhere else to go. He is my life. And whatever He requires of me, that's just the way it is. Well, we're going to go to Ephesians 6 right quick. See, we have to look at it this way. We can't look at it like, well, this is just so hard. I can't do it. This junk that most people just go through their whole life. No, this is not the way to look at it. If you went in the military, that kind of behavior would not be tolerated. Do you know what I mean? And that we are in the military, like it or not, we are. We're in His army. Good first-class soldiers of Jesus Christ. All right, Ephesians, y'all are familiar with Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. We're wrestling. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the mountains, high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wrestle there means profit and remain and to vibrate. I was thinking about Rocky, always getting pounded in the face, but he just kept on coming. He's like a brick wall. You couldn't knock him down. They knocked his brains out, literally. You know, he became kind of dumb after the last beatdown. But he was still standing. Yeah. Every July 4th, I like to watch The Patriot. The best scene in the whole movie is when the colonials and the militia are retreating. The British come up over the hill. And he sees they're retreating. He picks that flag up. I don't know if somebody's carrying it and he grabs it or if he picks it up off the ground. But he starts going back the other way. And they start seeing him carrying the flag and running up that hill. And they turn around and they start following him. And what happens? That, taken to that hill, is what broke it for the whole war. They won the war from that. Everybody else was in retreat, but not him. Have you noticed those are just the type of movies he makes? He's supposed to make another one, and I forget what it's about, but it's like Braveheart. Freedom! You know, he said, you know, don't fight. You might live for a while. Fight, and you might die. You know, but you want freedom. This is the only way you're going to get it. I mean, these are movies for our times, most definitely. All right. Everyone that sees, okay, I'll just pick up. There is where we are, and God is counting on us to not retreat, but to keep forcing ourselves in and turning the tide. We will be able to do this if we keep the right perspective. If we'll see why we are where we are at. Just think about the history books and what they're going to say. Just think about looking back and being able to tell your great, great, great grandchildren, well, this is what we were doing during that time. Wouldn't you hate to say I'm one of those that sat on the sidelines and did nothing and called everybody a conspiracy theorist? Wouldn't you be ashamed? Well, you know what? The people in our past history that won wars and did battles, they're no different than us. No different at all. Yeah. Peter said to think it not strange. Why would he say that? Do you think that the devil is going to give up anything without a fight? No, not hardly. It's too bad that we can't see into the spirit realm and observe what is really going on. We see our wounds, how awful we feel, but in the spirit realm, the devil is wrestled to the ground, all bound up, and we are advancing forward. In other words, we are winning. If we could really see in the spirit realm the progress we're making and what happens when we do warfare, it'd make a difference. If we're not being buffeted, then we're probably not even in the fight, because we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. And it is a fight, because the devil's going to launch everything he can against your mind to get you to give up the fight. Mm-hmm. All right. That's what Paul told Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. That's 1 Timothy 6:12. Right here, fight means a contest, a wrestling match probably, an effort or an anxiety. I like Jim Jordan because he's a wrestler. He's not a very big man, but he's one of our representatives. And he is a bulldog. And his sons have come up under him, and they're wrestlers too. They're better than he was. But I tell you what, he don't give up. He stands his ground, and he just doesn't put up with their garbage. Paul also told Timothy to be a good first-class soldier. This is 2 Timothy 2. First four verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So right here, we warreth. That's what the word. In other words, when we are in the conflict, you're focused only on that. It's like being in the military, but it is God's military, not man's. Paul gave up his life to write these epistles. We could call it our law of war manual, the epistles. Yeah. He considered them his gospel. Paul called it his gospel. Well, I think if anybody could, it would be him. He gave his life for it. God is counting on you and me to turn the tide in this battle. Not give up, not retreat, not drop the flag, but plant the flag and possess the gate of the enemy.